Thank you, Julie. That was beautiful. She was no stranger to hardship. In 1916, at the age of 3, her mother passed away. The youngest of 4, her life was traumatic for her, her older sister, and her twin brothers. By the age of 12, she had become a ward of the court and a foster child along with her elder sister of Mr. and Mrs. J.R. Cowan in Missouri. For high school, she went to Northeast High in Kansas City. She attended what was known then as a junior college for 2 years, and then her life started to shift. She decided to go for her dream. So she went to Hollywood, and a wonderful thing happened. She was able to connect with a particular residence known as the Studio Club in Hollywood, which was meant for young actresses coming into a strange city. So she was in this wonderful place to be protected and cared for. Ah, her name. Well, she tried out many different screen names in her days as a Westerns kind of actress in those shoot 'em up movies. And she was in a serial in 1930s. It was 1940 when she married a German writer and director who had immigrated to California. And life was grand. She ended her film career and at her husband's request made a wonderful home for them and their 2 daughters. It was a wonderful life. A place where everyone could be cared and protected. A wonderful home, that is, until her husband decided to leave her for the latest star of his new films, a singer and actress 8 years her junior. It was 1944 when they divorced, and she was devastated. Her coping mechanism? She attempted suicide. Fortunately, she was not successful. Let us hear her own words about this experience. She writes, "And when I attempted suicide, I did not succeed. I knew for the first time unconditional love, which God is. God is unconditional love. You are totally loved, totally accepted, just the way you are," she wrote. "In that moment, I was not allowed to die. And something happened to me which is very difficult to explain. I had an eternal moment of truth in which I knew I was loved, and I knew I was here for a purpose." In her desperation to get out of her life, out of her circumstances, she ultimately ended up reaching out to the power and presence of God that flowed in and through her as unconditional love and acceptance. And she found the truth of who she was, a divine being connected with that power of love. It was that feeling of unconditional love that brought her deep inner peace. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, in the revealing word Unity's Dictionary of Metaphysical Terms, describes peace as harmony and tranquility derived from the awareness of the Christ consciousness. The Christ consciousness, if you haven't heard that term here before, consciousness is awareness, right? The Christ, our divine nature. We become aware of our divine nature, our oneness with God in that moment. So in Unity terminology, this is exactly what this dear woman was experiencing. That connection with God that is experienced as overflowing love and acceptance which brings us deep inner peace. When we connect with that sacred within us by whatever name we give it. Very soon, this woman's purpose started to unfold as she began her writing career with magazine articles and children's stories. Just 2 years later, in 1946, she met the man who would become her second husband and the true love of her life. He was a musician, composer, and a writer for Warner Brothers Music. They married in 1949, and her husband encouraged her to write songs with him. Now, most likely, you will not recognize her by her name, Jill Jackson Miller. But you will recognize her by the most famous song that she and her husband, Cy Miller, co-wrote. As the words are in your Sunday bulletin, and we, along with many organizations around the world, sing the peace song each Sunday as we come together. Together they wrote it in 1955. The song is about Cy and Jill Miller's dream. Dream of peace for this world and how they believed each one of us could contribute to that consciousness of peace. They first introduced the song to a group of teenagers that were selected for a retreat, a week-long retreat in the hills of California. And the young people were purposely selected to be from different religions, races, cultural and economic backgrounds. Because this group that was leading the retreat wanted to bring them together to experiment with creating understanding and friendship through education, discussion groups, and living and working together in a camp environment. Cy Miller wrote this about what happened. He says, one summer evening in 1955, a group of 180 teenagers of all races and religions meeting at a workshop high in the California mountains. Locked arms. And formed a circle and sang a song of peace. They felt that singing the song with its simple, basic statement, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me," helped to create a climate for world peace and understanding. When they came down from the mountain, those inspired young people took that song to their churches, their clubs, their schools. Soon the teenagers started to share it. It went out to all 50 states, to PTA meetings, Christmas and Easter gatherings, Veterans Day, Human Rights Day, United Nations Day, 4-H clubs, United Auto Workers were even singing the song. So did the American Legion, B'nai B'rith, Kiwanis Clubs, and CORE. It was taped, recorded, copied, printed in songbooks, and passed by word of mouth. The song soon spread overseas, to Europe, Middle East, India, South and Central America, Africa, Australia. The Maori tribe in New Zealand sang it. The Zulus in Africa sang it. Professional singers began singing it. And over the years, many artists have recorded it. In Cy Miller's words again, this simple thought, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. First born on a mountaintop in the hills of California in the voices of youth, continues to travel heart to heart, gathering in people everywhere who wish to become a note in the song of understanding and peace. Who wish to become a note in the song of understanding and peace in this world. How powerful. How powerful is that song that we sing each week? How rooted in the consciousness of peace is that song? After writing Let There Be Peace on Earth, the desire for world peace became a quest that filled the rest of Jill's life. And over the years, as the song spread around the globe, she was asked to give talks about the song and the power of each individual to help create peace in this world. So each Sunday, we affirm that we too will let peace begin with us. But what do we do to make that happen when we leave this sanctuary? Can we do more? How can we as a community help create our vision of a peaceful world? But let's not get too far ahead of ourselves right now. Remember, peace must first begin within us as individuals. Do we want that peace that passes all understanding? Hopefully, yes. Do we want serenity no matter what is going on around us? So is anything getting in the way of us knowing this place of peace? Knowing this unconditional love and acceptance for ourselves? Is anything getting in the way of us being at one with that Christ consciousness? That awareness of our divine nature. Backtracking to Jill's turning point, remember, she wrote, "I knew for the first time unconditional love. You are totally loved and accepted just the way you are. I had an eternal moment of truth in which I knew I was loved." Can you just feel that turning point? Eternal. From that point on, eternal, she knew she was loved. So one, if peace is going to begin with us, let us each know first from the truth of our being that we are always unconditionally loved. Whether we accomplish everything on our to-do list today, we are unconditionally loved. Whether we make the best choices or not today, we are unconditionally loved. Whether we just outright make a mess of our life in the very next moment, we are still unconditionally loved. Jill Jackson felt the presence of the divine creative energy of the universe in that moment of total acceptance, and she knew the truth of who she was. So second, as we fully embrace our oneness with unconditional love, we can know the truth of who we are. We can know that we are divine. The Christ consciousness is that state of awareness of our true nature, our higher self, our birthright as children of God. If we're ever feeling disconnected from that awareness, what are we going to do? We're going to remember one, we are unconditionally loved. And second, Charles Fillmore teaches us when we're forming that Christ consciousness, that awareness, we're invited to hold statements of truth in our daily words of meditation. Speak words of truth to ourselves. Hold words of truth in the silence. Proclaim them as loud as you can. But in holding to words of truth, we are helping to rewire our brains, our networks, to connect with that true divine nature within us. Now, sometimes we get tripped up a little bit on this term, the Christ. It's not just a term for Christians. It is for all people. Because living in the reality of our Christed self is actually being fully alive to who we are. Spiritual beings having this divine experience on earth. And as Charles Fillmore said, it is in this state that we experience harmony and tranquility derived from that awareness of our oneness with the Christ consciousness. So what better time of year to be thinking about this than at Advent? Because we have the opportunity to remember that the Christ we are seeking in this time of Advent, the Christ we are seeking to birth, is not Jesus of 2 million years ago. Rather, the Christ is the spiritual nucleus within us that was created by divine spirit. The Christ is what we truly are. We each have that spiritual nucleus, whatever name we give it, whole and perfect, created and held in God's mind. So can we unequivocally proclaim this truth? Can we say, I am unconditionally, unequivocally loved? It is the truth of who I am. Now really pay attention, because after the next time I'm going to ask you to repeat it with me. I am unconditionally, unequivocally loved. It is the truth of who I am. All right, now, breathe. All right, because we're going to say it really, really loud. To the world and to, like, some of those brain cells in us that are saying, what? Me? Divine? You didn't? All right, so here we go. Together. I am unconditionally, unequivocally loved. It is the truth of who I am. Yes, it is. All right. So, once we are grounded in that truth, guess what? We get to reach out and be that presence of love and peace and light. Just like Julie sang, we get to be that light into the world, that light for others. So again, we can ask ourselves as individuals and as a community, what are we doing to further Unity Church of Lawrence's vision of a peaceful and abundant world for all? Just as Jill and Cy Miller co-created a song that would help build a consciousness of peace, there are people and organizations all around the world helping to educate, collaborate, develop innovative approaches, and taking action to financially support and recognize those that hold that consciousness of peace, that are doing wonderful things in this world. One example is right here in Lawrence. It's called the Lawrence Coalition for Peace and Justice. Anyone ever heard of it? Yeah. All right, Lawrence Coalition for Peace and Justice. The group oversees the annual award of the Tom and Ann Moore Peace and Justice Award, which supports and rewards promoters of peace and justice in the local community, noting people that exemplify the goals of peace and justice through their practical and constructive work. So in 2014, the winner for an organization is called Centro Hispano. Centro Hispano builds Lawrence's capacity to meet the health, educational, and social service needs of the 5,000 Latinos in Douglas County. And they also awarded an individual award, and this, in 2014, it went to KT Walsh. KT Walsh uses her considerable talent in art to further peace and justice issues in all of Lawrence. And as a board member of the East Lawrence Association of Neighborhoods, she champions its live and let live culture. She sounds like an interesting person to meet. All right, one other thing that the group does, well, I'm sure they do many other things, but one of the things they do is if you're ever downtown at 9th and Massachusetts, on that corner, on the first Saturday of the month between noon and 1, they are on that corner, just holding the consciousness of peace, just proclaiming that they stand for peace in this world. And everyone here is welcome to attend. So we can make a difference. So let us as individuals and as a community live our vision of peace in an even greater way in 2015. Let us answer the invitation of Jill and Cy Miller to become a note in a song of understanding and peace. Peace for all humankind. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with us. Shalom.